It was 7 a.m. when Brendan woke me up with his shouting. He was in a shouting match with our neighbor outside the front door. I blearily made my way to the kitchen when it was over and asked him what the fuss was about. Our neighbor had caught him throwing our rubbish bags into her black bin. Brendan had been doing this for a while now to avoid paying any bin fees, but that morning she had threatened legal action, which Brendan had not taken well. He was annoyed that he would now have to walk to the end of the street and throw our rubbish into a skip designated for the nearby flats. Brendan, whose name I have changed for legal reasons, was my landlord for a period of 4 months starting at the beginning of September 2021. He was a bald, pudgy 50-something-year-old who was quick to deliver unsolicited advice to anyone who would listen, as he believed growing old had somehow made him wise. He was quick to admit he had made mistakes in the past, mainly that he had cheated on his wife the previous year, but through acknowledging his faults and being honest, he was on the road to retribution. He had told me all of this when I had first met him at the house viewing, as well as reading to me several poems that he had wrote throughout the ordeal. I didn't particularly care for the poems. I had come across Brendan's advert on Done Deal, sandwiched between used cars and beauty salon rental spaces. It was cheap and central, which as a student is the only two things you're really looking for. The house reminded me of my grandmother's, with family photographs spewed across every inch of the wall. I'd noticed a stack of antidepressants on the kitchen counter, a mountain of small prescription boxes stacked high. I mentioned that I was actually on the same type of antidepressants. He told me I could take as many as I'd like, that the doctor keeps prescribing them, but he never took them. Brendan was eccentric, to say the least. Most of his time was spent sitting in the living room watching old cowboy movies, as he rarely had any visitors. But occasionally, he would yell up the stairs towards my room to come help him with minor technology problems. Occasionally, he would ask me to transcribe his poems onto his phone. Eventually, I stopped using the cutlery in the house because every week he would soak it all in bleach, but forget to actually wash off the bleach, resulting in everything having a chemical aftertaste. I would repeatedly tell Brendan that I was thankful he would take my underwear out of the washing machine and hang them up, but I wasn't comfortable with it. "We're not family," I said. "I can do it myself." One day, I came back to find my room ransacked and my antidepressants missing. I confronted Brendan in the living room, interrupting his Western for a different kind of standoff. He played dumb for a total of 10 seconds before I reminded him of his belief in honesty, in which he then admitted to taking all my antidepressants. He was paranoid that the guardie would find me with his name on the antidepressants, and so had taken back everything in haste, including my own. After that, I installed a lock on my door. It was up for about 5 days before I got a call from Brendan while I was on holiday in Liverpool, telling me that he had called in a locksmith to remove the lock, as it looked, quote, unsightly. I argued that he could at least wait until I get back from the weekend trip, to which he replied that it was his house and hung up. I arrived back to find the lock missing and my door wide open. I was furious with Brendan and told him that unlocking my door like that while I was away was a breach of my privacy. He told me that rent would be going up by 200 euro due to economic reasons. There was a knock on my door one night at 11 p.m. It was Brendan, and in tow with him was a child about 6 years old. It was his son, who looked confused as to why a stranger was now sleeping in his old room. Brendan explained that it was his turn with the child for the weekend, but he had forgotten to buy food and was wondering if I could donate some. My perspective changed on Brendan that night. He wasn't a landlord. He was an old man who could barely look after himself, whose infidelity had cost him his wife, family, and friends. The photographs spewed across every wall weren't his. We had been living in his mother's house. She had passed from COVID, and Brendan had inherited the house. He had rented out rooms for money reasons, but I believe the real reason was to fill the hole left by his family, to be head of the house again, only this time to an assortment of strangers, ones who could not talk back against his arrogance or abandon him for fear of homelessness. I wasn't a tenant. I was a replacement for his son. I moved out a week later. On moving day, I found his poems sprawled out on the kitchen table, ready to begin the cycle for another. I found him in the living room, watching yet another cowboy western. I asked why he always watched westerns. He said, "It's easier to tell who are the good guys and who are the bad guys."